الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقولوا قولا سديدا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Within our Sharia, you'll find that deeds are composed of different components. One component is called a rukn, another component could be a shart. Some components are sunnah, some components are mustahab, some components are sunnah mu'akkada, some are sunnah ghayr mu'akkada. So as you study the Sharia, you find that every deed within the deen has components. For example, within salah, you have preconditions, you have actions that are arkan within the salah, like the sajda. You have some things that are sunnah in the salah, you have some things that are wajib in the salah, you have some things that are makruh in the salah. So our actions have various components. But the key component for every action is the rukn, is the pillar of that action. So for example, in wudu, we have four pillars, right? To wash the face, to wash the arms, to wipe the head, to wash the feet. Each of those are a pillar of the deed. And without that pillar, the deed doesn't exist. Similarly, in the science of attaining nearness to Allah, and in the science of purifying oneself, there are certain pillars. Each of those pillars are essential for a person to progress along the path of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of those pillars is telling the truth and speaking straightforward. Now, we think about telling the truth and it sounds like such an easy thing to do, right? Okay, so you should tell the truth. You should be very straightforward in your speech. You shouldn't hide behind what you do. Yet, if you ask someone, or if we even just challenge ourselves and reflect on our own lives, and just make a commitment to yourself from now, that you're never ever going to again say anything that is not true, you'll see how difficult it really is. Telling the truth sounds easy, but actually is a very, very challenging commitment. But it's a commitment that anyone who sincerely seeks nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to resolve themselves towards. Now, if you look at speech in general, and telling the truth in particular, you'll see that the Quran addresses it, and so does the Ahadith. And there are actually various effects of our telling the truth. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in His glorious book, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Now, all of you have attended a nikah ceremony, so you've heard these ayat how many times? And many of you are actually married, so you heard this in your own nikah ceremony. But you think about the fact that for the marriage ceremony, something that every human being has to go through, it's amazing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam established one set of ayat for this particular act. I mean, every time you go to a nikah ceremony, it's the same ayat being recited, and we constantly hear them over and over again. So you can see just by the fact that the Prophet ﷺ established these ayat at such an important event that it really behooves us to pay attention to the ayat being recited. And in particular, one of those ayat is وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, right? And speak straightforward. Be straightforward in your speech. Be honest in your speech. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives two blessings to those types of people. Those people who are straightforward in their speech, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them two blessings. Number one, yuslih lakum a'malakum. Allah will straighten your deeds. Allah will rectify your deeds. Now, how many times do we say to ourselves, I want to rectify my deeds? And we try and we fail. Right? We say, I'm not going to miss prayer, Fajr prayer anymore. We try and we fail. Right? We say, I'm going to be more generous. We try and we fail. We say, I'm going to be regular in my recitation of the Quran. We try and we fail. Because that's from us. Right? It has some degree of success if Allah gives it tawfiq. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes responsibility himself. He says himself, yuslih lakum a'malakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will straighten your deeds. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. And number two, he'll forgive your sins. Two results of straightforward and honest speech. One, Allah will straighten your deeds for you. All of this effort of tasawwuf, where we sit and we struggle to straighten ourselves, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making an offer to the believers, I will straighten your deeds for you. Now if Allah makes the resolution to straighten our deeds, then there is no one that can change that resolution. That's the most powerful resolution that can exist in the universe. So number one, just when we speak the truth and we're straightforward in our speech, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person with change and straightens their lives for them. And number two, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And He will forgive for you your mistakes. And that's the second effort that we put so much work towards. Right? Making istighfar, regularly reflecting upon our deeds, making tawbah. These are all fundamental things that exist within our effort to gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is making an open proclamation. That if you're straightforward in your speech, number one, Allah will straighten your deeds. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you your mistakes. What more could a human being want? That's exactly what we strive for in this path of tasawwuf. And that's why we say that anybody who seeks nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there have to be people who speak the truth. When you say something, it has to be accurate. And what you say has to be a truthful reflection of what occurred. Now, in this day and age, we've made it very easy to tell a lie. Not only do we make it easy to tell a lie, we change the name of a lie. Right? So, it's not anymore a lie, it's an inaccurate statement. Right? Oh, I made an inaccurate statement. Right? I knew that I was supposed to say something, but then when he asked me the question, I made an inaccurate statement. Or, it's a fib. Right? So, Shaitan even changed the name of a lie to make it something that doesn't seem so bad. It was just a fib, it was just a white lie, I just said it because I didn't want to create any fitna. But you look at the prophets and you look at the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they were very, very careful about what came from their mouth. Why? Because they understood that without truthful speech, you lack the barakah of change and you lack the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. So that's the first result of speaking the truth. Is that you draw in the mercy of this ayah. The second result of speaking the truth is actually a negative, meaning when you lie, what occurs? And that is found in the ahadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains that when a person tells something that is not true from their tongue, such a stench is revealed from their tongue that the angels evacuate from that person the radius of 40 houses in every direction. Imagine. When someone says something that is not true, such a stench comes from that tongue that the angels evacuate from the vicinity of that person 40 houses in every direction. Now, without the company of the angels, what do we become? Just imagine the effect of a single lie and what it causes, not only within that person, but how it affects the entire universe. 40 houses in every direction. Imagine. I mean, and I've said this before for those of you who were present, you know, if you took a nuclear bomb and you dropped it, right, when they dropped it in the past, that didn't evacuate the angels. That kind of power doesn't evacuate the angels yet. So, telling a lie from the tongue has such a negative effect that it causes the angels, which are the carriers of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it causes them to evacuate in such a way. Just imagine. So one, the positive effect of telling the truth, and two, the negative effect of telling a lie, and you begin to see that this is actually an extremely important part of our advancement. So it's very important that we balance what comes out from our tongue, and we're very careful. What we say needs to be exactly what the situation is. And you try it. Over the next few days, be very particular about your tongues. Think about what you say, and you'll begin to see that where these challenges arise. And then you'll begin to appreciate it's not an easy task. It sounds straightforward, but it's not an easy task. But it's important, it's essential for anybody who aims to get nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it be telling when you're speaking with your wife, or with your husband, or with your mother, or with your father, or with your children, everything needs to be accurate. Everything needs to be accurate. And we need to keep this in the back of our mind, the effects of our words. Now, there was a famous mufti in our tradition. His name was Mufti Lutfullah Palanpuri. Not this Mufti Palanpuri that regularly comes to visit the United States, but this was someone who lived a while back. He was from India as well, though. And there is a narration about him and about his being truthful that shows you the barakah and the consistency that our scholars had in their holding fast to truthfulness. So on one occasion, he was traveling with his family to attend a wedding. And as they were traveling to attend the wedding, it was himself, some other people, and then the women of his family. So while they were traveling, some highway robbers attacked their caravan. When the highway robbers came, Mufti Lutfullah Barimpuri, rahmatullah alayh, came and approached them and said, "Look, we have women in our caravan. And these women, they cover themselves. So we don't want that these women be exposed. So I know what you want. You want whatever wealth we have. You want the jewels that we're carrying. You want whatever wealth we have. We'll give it to you. Just, there's no reason for you to attack the caravan. We'll give you whatever we have. You can go your own way and we'll go our way." So the thieves, they obviously agreed. I mean, that's the easiest for them. They just get the wealth. They don't even have to do anything. So they agreed. And Mufti Palanpuri, he went around and he collected all of the jewelry from the entire caravan. He brought two big bags of jewelry and he gave it to the thieves. So the thieves were very happy. They were laughing and they were saying, "This is the easiest, theft we've ever had to commit. Everything just came directly to us." And they began to leave. As they were leaving, Mufti Palanpuri then told the caravan that they should continue towards their destination. And after a couple minutes, just when they had just gone a short distance, one of the people from the caravan came to Mufti Palanpuri and said, "We promised that we would give every bit of jewelry. But I just noticed that there's a small girl. She has a very small gold ring on. You know, like some people put it on their kids, these 2, 3, 5-year-old kids. She has a very small ring on her, and we didn't give that piece of jewelry. But we promised that we would give everything." So Mufti Palanpuri said, "No, you're right. Stop the caravan." So he took that small ring, right, because he had made a contract. He had said something from his tongue. And he took that small ring, and then he went back he started approaching the thieves. Now, when he started approaching the thieves assumed that he was coming after them to try to recover the goods they had stolen. So they started talking among themselves and they started saying, "What should we do? This man is coming now to take back what we stole." So the thief said, "Okay, let him approach. There's a bunch of us. There's only one of him. If he tries to do anything, we can easily handle him. We're so many people." So as Mufti Palanpuri Sahib approached him, he said, "I'm sorry. We had made a promise to you that we would give you every single bit of wealth that we had. And as we were leaving, we realized that there was a small girl and she had this small gold ring. So I'm bringing this ring to you to fulfill that covenant that I made with you from what came from my tongue." Now, when he did that, the thieves were completely shocked. One, I mean, they were already shocked at what happened. But two, when they saw the honesty of this man, it just completely hit them. And in fact, it comes that later on, all of them became Muslim. All of them became Muslim based on that act. Now, you think about it, subhanAllah, that's the barakah of truth. And you find it all the way back from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one thing that the Quraysh had a lot of complaints about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A lot of complaints. They said, look, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does this, he does that, he breaks up families, he separates people, he's creating division within Mecca. They had a lot of complaints. But the one thing they could not criticize was the honesty of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was essential. Why? Because that then reflected the honesty of the message. Right? The message, if you know the person to be honest, then you can trust the entire message. If you know the person tells a lie sometimes and sometimes tells the truth, then the message becomes distorted. And so as messengers, which is what we are, people watch us very carefully. And if they see inconsistencies, now a type of lie is the inconsistency in the life that we live. If they see that here are these group of people calling us to this deen, but they themselves don't live it. When it comes to actually living the deen, they don't live it. They give us a book and tell us about it. What are they going to take from us? What do we really have to offer them? That's our problem. That becomes our problem when we try to spread the deen. That becomes our problem on the Day of Judgment when we're blamed by people for not sharing the deen. So when we talk about honesty, when we talk about honesty of what comes from the tongue, what we mean is that everything you say, you do. And everything you do, that's what you say. And it's a very weighty issue. I mean, now you think about it as you walk around for the rest of the week and try to be honest in what you say. When you command others to do something, are you doing it yourself? Right? And when you do something, are you commanding people to do that as well? So watch the tongue. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, guarantee me two things and I'll guarantee you Jannah. What's between the lips and what's between the legs. Preservation of these two things earns you Jannah. Such a straightforward equation. Yet look how complicated we've made it. So be very careful about your tongues. Be very careful. And then we sit and put all this emphasis on make this 25 istighfar and then make 100 salawat and then do this and then do that. Such a simple equation. It's Allah's equation. Right? These are the equation of the mashayikh. If you do this many istighfar, this many salawat, they derive this from the hadith and then they create this equation for us. Yet the Quran is making a covenant with you. Right? وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Speak straightforward. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Allah will then fix your deeds. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. So what better covenant can you ask for? It becomes the core of the tasawwuf. It becomes the core of seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So put some effort into it. Think about what comes from your tongue. Reflect on it. Watch what comes from it. And then calculate and gauge whether it was really accurate or not. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among those who speak truth from their tongue and to be among those who act upon what comes from their tongue. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.